Landscaping can be a lot of fun. It's not only a time to be creative, but can be a time to be sustainable as well. And today we're going to take a look at a book that talks about some amazing green projects, touches on how to start your own projects right at home, everything from straw bale gardening to brewing your own compost. Jim Beard and Chris Jossert, by the way, are co-authors of the book. It's called Growing People: How Green Landscapes and Garden Spaces Can Change Lives. Joined today by Jim. Jim is the founding instructor of the horticulture technical program at Fox Valley Tech College. He serves as an emeritus member of the American Society of Landscape Architects, nationally certified in organic lawn care on behalf of the Northwest Organic Farming Association. And Jim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Laurie. Thanks for having us.
Oh, I tell you, it's great to have you here, and great to be able to talk with you about your book. Which, where did I have it? I had it right in front of me a minute ago. It's a wonderful book. You know, it's kind of like two books in one.
It is. It is, because what I learned a long time ago is one of the first responsibilities of an instructor is to grow people. And so growing people was really the impetus that started this whole idea. And as we move forward now in the demand for having better food, growing organically seemed to be the right thing to do, and also in small spaces. So the system now, you can use the bale, or you can use the buckets, or you can use a number of things to grow organic vegetables in small sites.
Well, it really is wonderful. And the first part of the book is kind of, well, maybe you can talk about how it's organized. The first part is really kind of the story about growing people.
It is growing people. And these folks are students that came into the program that maybe were having some challenges. And being able to love them and care about them and help them grow and give them the confidence that they need to move forward has been one of the most gratifying things that I get a chance to do.
Yeah. Give us an example of, can you talk about that from the book maybe?
We have an autistic person is one of them, mm-hmm. referred to as Mr. B. Mm-hmm. And this is a man that's very low on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. But he's growing microgreens now in nothing but water in a mist system in our hydroponics lab, and that goes to the culinary program. So we're able to take him and get him to grow, and we get him now so he can go get the seeds. You can put them in the containers. You can put them underneath the mist system. He can harvest them. And that's really gratifying to see that happen.
It's got to be.
We have another student who was a student at Wisconsin who got involved with the drug traffic, but the drug culture, and really didn't do well here. He flunked out of Manistee, came back. He's been a 4-point all the way through our program. But it was putting the past behind them and focusing on the future and what potential that has.
What is it about gardening that and landscape design and garden landscaping, I guess we could say, that can bring that out in people?
Because it's a living thing. It doesn't sass you. It doesn't have an attitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can have if you don't take care of it well. It's not going to like you. It's going to die, or it's going to get sick. But basically, it's a living thing. And you can plant that seed. You can see that life come, and you can see it grow, and you can see the fruits of your labor. And they can do that regardless of what their personality is, as long as they can identify and relate to that plant.
Well, you certainly have had an impact on a diverse group of people over the years. You mentioned a couple. I mean, you've worked with military veterans, chronically insane. Could you talk about the recent project you've done with the Outagamie County Insane Asylum?
Well, that actually was a cemetery. Mm-hmm. Many years ago, the Insane Asylum had a pauper cemetery, and people were interned there. Over 100 people were interned in a parcel of ground, and they were forgotten for a long time, over 100 years, some of them. And so we started mowing that lot, and then eventually it became more known, and as a result of that, a group came together. And now there's a memorial there that has the names of all those interred. It has a walkway through the cemetery with a place to sit down. And now those that have been passed have been identified, and they're cared for. And it's one of those feel-good things that our students get involved in these things. And, I mean, it just brings the best of everybody together.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And you've done some really cool green projects that you've spearheaded at Fox Valley Tech College. I really like the green roof rest station. What a beautiful... Could you describe what it's like for our listeners?
Well, it's a pergola, basically, mm-hmm. and it has a roof. And then on the roof, we put some a rubber roofing material and some short or low planter pans. And we planted plants on there. And that grows 24/7, 365. And it's in this day and age with energy conservation and growing plant material and improving the air quality in communities and things like that, using the roof of buildings now has become more important. Well, that was the first attempt at being able to grow plants on a roof. And the students built the entire thing. They planted the entire thing.
And this is a pitched roof, by the way.
It's a pitched roof. And the structure is hidden, so you don't see the structure at all. It's all hidden underneath with angle iron and bolts into the beams. That particular project was recommended to the Wisconsin Landscape Contractors Association and got a gold medal for garden structure about 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah, it is. It's really a beautiful, beautiful structure, man. And the plants do well. And I was just looking at that and saying, okay, we got watering and issues, and we got potential issues of that nature, but
sometimes they have to squirt the water on there a little bit. You know, sometimes they have to do that. Some of the plants aren't real happy at the beginning of the spring when it opens up again and we get warmer weather, but it comes back.
I want to talk with you about some of the second half of the book as well, which is sort of, what do you call it, the do it yourself unit maybe of the book. Which is called Beds, Bales, Buckets, and Brews?
Yes, yes.
The four B's? Beds, Bales, Buckets, and Brews. And I want to invite our listeners to join in, too. Maybe you have some questions about beds or bales or buckets. Well, we're going to talk bales. I'm talking about straw bales for straw bale gardening. Beds, raised beds.
Yes.
Buckets, which is really cool. I love the raised bucket beds. And also brews, which are, what do you call them, teas?
Compost teas
with our guest today, Jim Beard, founding instructor of the Horticulture Technician Program at Fox Valley Technical College, among other things. Along with Chris Jossert has the book Growing People, How Green Landscapes and Garden Spaces Can Change Lives. You may have a question or comment. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Chris wondered if you'd ever done anything with hydroponics.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes.
What kinds of things have you done?
Well, right now we're growing basil, and we grow basil for the culinary program at the college, and depending on the year, we'll send 60 to 80 pounds of basil to them, and that's grown in two growing systems, and we have a room in the building now that is set up for hydroponics. We're using a new light system. It's an induction light. We get those from a local company here called Paradigm, and what they are is they don't use the high pressure sodium or the metal halide that gets that 4,000 to 6,000 or 100 degree temperatures.
Yeah,
these about 150 degrees, so you have less heat gain. The light source itself is longer, much longer life in the bulbs, and it's about a 25% cost of energy, so that's a 75% saving. So what we're trying to do, not only teach them how to grow hydroponically, but also how to make a buck, you know, because that's part of what we do is train you to make a living. But it's really, it's been an amazing journey there as well. We use RO water. So we do all the things that you do. And when each student comes in, they're going to grow some plants in a 5-gallon bucket, and they're going to grow some plants in our system.
And you teach and are very schooled in organic gardening and organic working in organics.
I went out east a few years ago and got certified by the New England Organic Farmers Association, and that was on doing organic lawn care. But as a boy, I'm a friendly Illinois boy and was raised mm-hmm. in Rockford and on a farm. Mm-hmm. And so back in the 50s and the early 60s, organics was all we really had. So it's really going back to the basics of our roots and being able to grow plants in those organic, natural kinds of soils.
I went through the same kind of experience, so I'm with you on that. We're kind of going back to where we were.
That's exactly right.
40, 50 years ago.
Exactly, exactly.
Jim Beard, our guest today. We need to take a quick look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us on the Ideas Network. And then I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, and we'll be back right after this look at the news. You know, there's a sense of accomplishment when you can look at your garden and know that it was your hands that did the work. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about a book. It's called Growing People, How Green Landscapes and Garden Spaces Can Change Lives, written by Jim Beard and Chris Jossert. Jim joins us to talk about some great green landscape projects. He's already shared some of that, and he's got some step-by-step instructions in the book for creating your own garden spaces at home, and he's definitely happy to answer your questions as well. When you call in, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. And during the newscast, Jim and I were talking a bit about straw bales, and we had an email comment from Pam in Canada, who said our straw bale garden is situated 75 miles north of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, on the shores of Lake Superior. All sand. We are Wisconsin natives, but spend our summers in Ontario. A garden is a must since there are no towns closer than 75 miles, and we love veggies and flowers, and they use straw bales.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. We'll go into more of that in a bit here, but Rose in Glenwood City has a question for you. Rose, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, hi there. Yeah, I have a question about what to do with some grass clippings. I would say about midsummer this year, my husband filled up a 50-gallon plastic drum with grass clippings, thinking that might all rot down into something useful. Well, we didn't get around to checking into it, you know, before it froze, so it's all frozen right now. But I would like your recommendations on what, if anything, we can do with that.
Well, there's a few things you can do with grass clippings. First of all, we think it's more important. Are you using synthetic fertilizers on your lawn?
Nothing. It's okay. A lot of weeds, too. That is another problem. No, nothing on the lawn. It's a lot of dandelions and plantain.
Probably Creeping Charlie, too.
Creeping Charlie. Dandelions you can make wine out of. You can make salads out of them. There's a lot of things you can do with them. But with your lawn, one of the things that the grass clippings are organic. So those can be incorporated into compost piles. With compost piles, you're going to want to turn those about 3 times a week. You need to get that temperature in there up over 100 degrees, about 120, 30 degrees, to kill the weed seeds that are in there. And then that becomes a very, very good amendment to the garden. You may think, well, I really don't want to do that. Then you can take those clippings and use them in between the rows in your garden to help keep the mud down, and they will compost themselves there. So they can be used either as a cover in your existing garden, or they can be used as a component in a compost pile.
And as you well know, too, they can just go right back on the lawn.
Yes, they can.
I think a year's worth of grass clippings on a lawn is about the equivalent of a fertilizer application.
Yes, it is.
Yes, uh-huh. I'm not mistaken.
Normally, we just let the clippings be there. He just wanted to try this, you know, to see if that would make us some magic garden potion.
Oh, you'll get some pretty good out of that.
Okay.
You follow Jim's advice. Thanks a lot for calling. Melody and Unity has a question for you. Hi, Mel.
Hello.
What can we do for you today?
I have a very old refrigerator and freezer that we took out of a shed and was wondering, I was planning on trying to do raised beds in them and wondering if you've tried that, if there's any harmful things in them yet, how to take them off, and if you've tried that.
Have never tried that. Interesting idea. One of the things, though, you're going to find is that you want to make sure that the Freon and everything is out of there. I would take all the electrical equipment that runs that freezer out of there, and now you're dealing with a tub, and you're going to want to put some holes in there so that'll drain. I don't know if the material is going to last for a long period of time, whether you're going to get rust issues. It's certainly worth trying.
It's already rusty. It's very old.
Well, then you actually have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to just scrub it up and actually put some stained glass on the front.
Well, make it look pretty.
Yeah, you'll have the nicest looking raised bed in town.
For sure.
But get some good organic materials in that bed. You know, some good compost, some worm castings or something like that that's organic. And you only need about a foot of soil or so to be able to grow some pretty good vegetables.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to Thomas in Janesville next. Hi, Thomas. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple questions real quick. I've got some really tall fences in my backyard, so I'm wondering first about anything that I can do to possibly, reflect sunlight, if you have any recommendations, something to get some more sunlight. Also, if you have any advice on plants that can kind of help to mask the smell of some of the other plants I've got in my backyard.
What kind of plants are you growing that you want to mask the smell of?
Oh, we lost him.
Well, when it comes to reflecting light, if you can use some light panels, some reflective materials on the fence to reflect the light back in, that can also help. Sometimes it's more a case of just selecting some plant material that will tolerate some lower level conditions and use that. As far as the mix, the plant mix, the soil mix, that's going to be the organic materials that he has. And I don't remember the last part of his question.
Masking. I didn't really understand.
He wanted to mask odors, and I'm not equipped to answer that question because I've never been asked that before, nor do I know. You know, we could say, okay, you can use roses, you can use some of the flowering plants that have nice aroma that will mask that, but not knowing exactly what that is, it's very difficult to be able to decide that.
You can join in with your questions or comments today as we visit with our guest Jim Beard. He is author of the book, Growing People, How Green Landscapes and Garden Spaces Can Change Lives. He talked a little bit about his work with a variety of individuals and also with, of course, his work at Fox Valley Technical College, doing some wonderful things there. So there's that part of the book, and then there's the part of the book where he talks about raised beds, straw bales, raised bucket beds, and then also brews. So we have that as well, and we haven't really gotten into that very much except talked a little bit about straw bales. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And raised beds, you're big on raised beds as well, and they have a lot of advantages. I mean, they're pleasing, they're easy to use.
They're very easy to use. You want to make sure the bed isn't constructed so large that you have to walk inside to maintain it. So you want to be able to maintain it from outside. I like to use 2x12s because it gives you 11.5 inches of space to add material. You do not have to do excavation of the areas around it. You could put the I like to use compost and like to use organic materials in there. So the whole growing medium itself is organic. And in those 12 inches, then, you can grow almost anything you want to. We'll also use a trickle system, and that's a netafim. It's a half-inch diameter pipe mm-hmm. with little emitters about every 12 inches. And we can set that up on the irrigation system with a controller and a valve. And then that valve is hooked into a solar panel that's about 3 inches square. And
that's it?
That's it. 3 inches square.
Wow.
And at Appleton Medical Center in Appleton at the hospital, we had 4 raised beds, 2 straw bales, and then the bucket bench, which I call Grandma's Garden because she doesn't have to get down on her hands and knees anymore to grow tomatoes. That cell ran the irrigation system at 7 to 7:30 and 3 to 3:30 every day, 7 days a week. We never watered all summer. And we covered the beds with straw, and we didn't weed either. So gardening can actually be something that doesn't take a lot of energy and a lot of time if you just plan it right.
If you plan it right, absolutely correct. And those, and you've got information. Obviously, that's covered in your book.
Everything is in the back. Yes.
So that's wonderful. Straw bales, again, let's just go back to them again because I've always enjoyed straw bale gardening, or I have the last several years. And you have the coolest straw bale on wheels setup that I have ever seen. I thought, man, I'd like to have one of those.
Where do we send it?
how to make them, too.
Actually, there's a drawing in there on how to make the cage that goes around that. Gardening can be something that you don't want to look at. But if you can make it easy on the eyes, it gains almost universal acceptance. So these straw bales have these cages built on them using hardware cloth, keeps the mice out of them.
Yeah.
Easy on the eyes. You put them on their side. You charge them for about 14 days with organics and water. And what we do is in the middle of that barrel, we will stick in a thermostat or thermometer. And when that temperature gets to about 110 degrees, it's going to drop back to 80. So that means now the organics has done its work.
Mm-hmm.
Now you plant it.
Yeah.
And it is just a no-brainer.
that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And as you talk about in the book, you've got tomatoes maybe growing up the top, and then out the sides you might have squash.
Exactly.
I think it's pretty.
One of our bales was full of parsley, and the head chef at Appleton Medical Center is the best parsley he's ever tasted. And the roots from that parsley grow all the way through that bale and were curled up on the deck underneath it.
Isn't that amazing? That's one of the things when those bales come out, and tomato plants as well. The roots go straight down, and they're right to the earth, and maybe into the earth.
Yes.
Underneath, so is it 14 days? 10 to 14 days.
10 to 14 days.
10 to 14 days, and really isn't all that onerous.
No, no.
What you do, and you've got all the steps in the book.
All the steps are in the book.
What Joe emailed us and wondered if you could talk about grow lights again. He didn't catch all the information about grow lights and what you use and what's best.
Okay. What we use is a light called induction lights. And it's a relatively new introduction into hydroponic growing or growing under lights. And it's available through Paradigm in Madison. It's the only place in Wisconsin that we could find them. But what it does is it uses 25% of the energy that the high-pressure sodium in the metal halide uses. So let's say that you have a system set up where you're spending $20,000 a year on electricity. You're going to spend about $4,000 to $5,000 with these lights. If you're using the high-pressure sodium, those bulbs are going to last 4,000 to 6,000 hours. These are going to last about 20,000 hours or so. They burn at 150 degrees, so you don't have to worry about burning yourself.
Yeah,
they do have the pink and the white light, so you get the spectrum depending on what you're growing. When we're growing microgreens, it's all under white light because it's all vegetative. If we're growing tomatoes, once it goes to the budding process, then we put the red lights in, and then it becomes more of a fruiting situation. Very easy to do. We're usually intimidated by something we don't understand. And this is so easy to understand that we think it's more complicated than it is.
I like that explanation. Yeah, it really is. It really is pretty straightforward. We had, I want to talk about, oh, there's so many things here we can talk about. The raised bucket beds that kind of look, as I think you point out, they're sort of like beanbag holes in a...
Yes, yes. If you like to toss bean bags, we're not using them. Do the bean bag toss in the spring, plant something in them, you know. We have a series of different size tables. You can make a 2x2, a 2x3, or a 2x4, and they hold 5 and 2 gallon buckets. And the one that we had, there's several renditions and drawings available in the book. But the one we had last summer was 3 5-gallon buckets and 2 2-gallon buckets. And what we do is we put one hole in the bottom of the bucket about a half inch in diameter, and then we put Typar, which is a word weed check, over that hole, and then about an inch of washed gravel and then Typar over that, and then the organic soil on top. What it, that does then allows the water to get into a medium where it'll drain and you don't get those wet corners and heavy soils in the corners. And then plant your favorite vegetable in there, and you'll be surprised on how well they do.
We have Bob and Krivitz with a question, so let's go there. Bob, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Hi, appreciate your call.
Okay. I've got raised boxes that I built. My wife has had a couple back surgeries, so she's partially handicapped where she can't bend over. And we've planted vegetables in them. I made them, built them out of treated wood. Okay, and then I covered the inside with black construction plastic all the way around. And then I got about 2 feet of mulch in the bottom, ground up wood mulch. And then I filled the rest of it with topsoil and Miracle-Gro topsoil. Everything did excellent except the tomato plants. And now this year, in that same one of those boxes, tomato plants and pepper plants just, they get tomatoes on, and a lot of times they just turn black. Okay, can you give me some, what should I do, or should I take the topsoil out of there, or what should I do to help this out?
Well, there's several issues. First of all, it could be a watering issue, because sometimes with tomatoes, if you don't water them properly, you're going to get blossom end rot, and that's going to look dark on the bottom, and that's going to be an issue that can happen with anybody growing tomatoes anywhere. The fact that you've built the raised bed for your wife is a very good thing. The fact that you have in the bottom of that mulch that is going to compost and disintegrate, you could have a buildup of nitrogen in there that's going to create some issues for your tomatoes. So it could be more just the materials you used in there than it is the tomatoes themselves.
So what would you suggest? Is there something I can put in there to combat that nitrogen?
Well, I hate to tell you this, but it's probably what you need to do is to remove all the soil that's in those boxes and then start with that good soil and put that in the bottom.
Okay.
And then add the organics in the bottom now, if that started to compost and become, you know, small pieces and more like good, rich soil, incorporate that in, and now you have a box that will grow plants, and it's deep enough, you got an area that they should do extremely well.
Okay, they're saying they're really mix that soil? Once I get it out of there?
Yeah, you want to make sure that you don't have a lot of big chips in there because the biology in there, the nitrogen in there, is going to deteriorate the compost.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We had a question from Jerry in Racine who called in and wondered what would be a good starter kit for a no-till organic garden?
A spade.
Yeah,
a spade and turning the soil over. It depends on the location, but you just need to start working up the soil, adding some compost, adding some worm castings, adding organic material in there. Sometimes it may take a year to get that started. If it's a turf area now, you might want to cover that with black plastic and actually kill all that vegetation that's in there first. And then once that's dead, you can turn it over, depending on what you've used in the way of fertilizer on that turf area. So it could be a process of this year of building the bed and then planting it next year.
That makes a lot of really good sense. Jim Beard, our guest today, as we talk with him about a lot of things. His book is titled Growing People, How Green Landscapes and Garden Spaces Can Change Lives. And changing lives, I go back to that part of it again, because you've done a lot of work with the autism community. And I know we talked about hydroponics earlier, and using a hydroponic setting in working with people with autism. And that's something that has worked pretty well.
It's worked amazingly well. It's more an issue of communication. And communication is an interesting thing. We think it's a verbal thing, but it's not always. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a touch. And I remember when Mr. B first came into the program, there were some people that thought, why are you going to do this? And it's because that's what we should do. We're walking down the hall one day, and after we get to the end of the hall, his handler says, "She really likes you." And I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because he runs his hand up and down your back. I couldn't feel it."
Uh-huh.
So now when I walk in, I rub my hand up and down Blake's back. He now says good morning. He now talks a little bit. So the secret is being able to reach a level of communication with your student and give them what they need to be successful. And he's the young man that grows microgreens for the culinary program.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful human being. I love him to death. It's just learning how to communicate it at the level they'll understand you.
You have done some, and I know there's another book coming in the future that's probably going to take a look at this whole program with autism.
I'd like to take a look at the hydroponics, or at the autism, and because the spectrum is so large, there's some very high performing autistic people that could manage the lower performing, and it's how do you put that? You know, sometimes we shy away from things we don't understand, and sometimes if you take an extra 5 minutes, understanding it becomes much more clear. So we hope that we can do some things that will help this population be able to grow microgreens. The Theta system said they would buy all the microgreens we can grow. So we're going to try to put that together in the next few months.
Well, in the meantime, this book is really a fascinating book. The first half dealing with your work in the community and growing people, how green landscapes and garden spaces can change lives. And then sort of the second half of the book is really about some of the nuts and bolts about beds, bales, buckets, and brews. That's that one chapter is titled. And more of specifics about straw bale gardening, raised beds, and raised bucket beds and that. And Jim, you're doing some wonderful work. Thank you so much for
being
with us today. I really appreciate it. Hope we can get you back and do this again.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Jim Beard, founding instructor of the Horticulture Technician Program at Fox Valley Technical Institute. Boy, they're lucky to have him. Fox Valley Technical College, serves as an emeritus member of the American Society of Landscape Architects, nationally certified in organic lawn care on behalf of Northeast Organic Farming Association. We'll have him back. We'll do it again with him. And certainly, I hope you'll come back, too, because we've got lots more in store here. Tomorrow we'll talk about some holiday baking, and probably Yule Cockle is going to come into four. Stay with us.